Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Kurt Collins will be sticking with us for After the Paracast, which is available only to subscribers to the Paracast Plus for a quick sign-up. I mean, 30 seconds you can sign up. Go to the Paracast.plus. If it takes 60 seconds, don't sue me. Anyway, Kurt, let's continue on this. Yeah, Chris Mellon, maybe he was looking for some outside employment there. I mean, what jobs does a former Deputy Secretary of Defense get in the civilian world? Does he become a consultant, a writer? What does he do, a TV commentator?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't want to speculate on that. So Chris Mellon left. Hal Putoff left to the stars. He's off the board, but remains a science consultant. Lou Elizondo, according to the stars SEC disclosure, was laid off. That's the terminology they used. Since then, Elizondo, who rarely spoke to the press, and usually it was someone like, the Coast to Coast show, something like that. He has been everywhere, and so has Chris Mellon to a lesser extent. As is comparable to a press campaign for a movie or a book, they are everywhere. They're talking about the product. The particular product is UAPs, and this their threat narrative, as I call it. It's very interesting. I mean, they have a goal in mind, and maybe it is commercial or a position with the government or something like that. One thing I want to talk about before we run out of time is we mentioned before about that some of these things have happened before, and I think this wave of publicity is unprecedented. Except for in the 1960s, everyone knows about the UFO flap then and the swamp gas fiasco. But I mean, there were wall to wall coverage of the UFO topic on major newspapers and television shows. There was a CBS special on it, and some of the politicians were behind it. Gerald Ford, Representative Gerald Ford, who later became president, through an interesting series of happenstance. He was representing his constituents. He wanted UFO information. There was a UFO hearing in Congress, and several prominent ufologists were part of that, gave testimony. And Dr. J. Allen Hynek called for a civilian panel to evaluate the UFO evidence. Well, that eventually happened. Unfortunately, it was the University of Colorado project led by Edward Condon. During that time, the Air Force, they felt like they were stuck with a terrible problem for as far as public relations, because they constantly were being accused of covering up UFO information. They wanted out of the business, and I think most people will say the fix was in, and the Condon Committee, then their final conclusions there. Now, some of the reports are interesting, and some of the casework they did was great. However, their conclusion was further extensive of UFOs probably cannot be justified. They said that the study to date had not added to scientific knowledge. So we had a really good shot at something before. Due to the attitudes then, it was shot down. It didn't kill ufology, but it really put the hurt on the scientific credibility of it, because the scientists will say, well, here's a report by scientists. It was an excuse not to examine the evidence. And, you know, I think we risk having history replayed. And I don't know if there's anything that we can do, but, you know, we can at least be prepared for that and see that it doesn't go dark. You know, we can support independent researchers, and all this publicity can help. you know, we can at least appeal to the scientific community to continue. I don't think there necessarily has to be a UFO-focused story study. It could be part of existing science disciplines. They just need to open their eyes to these things, particularly the ones that deal with the atmospheric issues and, you know, astronomers being aware of things. And along those lines, I mean, ufology is not going to die, and I think it could still prosper even if this report is negative, just by, well, probably some advocacy on the individual level.
Well, one thing they could be doing with this is to put people to sleep. The report is noncommittal. We can't prove it's alien spaceships. We can't prove it's not. We don't know what they are, and we'll have another status report. And the assumption here is the coverage of status report number two, assuming it comes in 6 months, will be less than the coverage of status report number one. The assumption is that once this leaves the news cycle, that's it, except for the crazies still left. But that doesn't explain the buildup. It doesn't explain these consistent statements from Mellon, from John Podesta, from two former heads of the CIA, Brennan and Woolsey, Senator Rubio, former DNI Radcliffe, former Senator Bill Nelson at NASA. It doesn't explain them all reading from the same script. It could still be, however, a gradual disclosure. Give everybody information in baby steps, a little bit now, a little bit a few months from now. So by the time we reach the end of this cycle, whenever it is, we'll know a lot more about what's going on. It could be off-world, it could be whatever, but it would be more accepted because it's done in such a low-key fashion. It's not going to be the president, whoever you believe the president to be. It will not be the president getting up there and saying E.T. is among us. It'll be done with such weasel words that if that's the ultimate intent, people will not really see it, except maybe 10 years from now.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? It's the weasel wording, and they've been doing that all along. They've been doing that since the Robertson panel. I mean, this is an exact Robertson panel script, right, where it's let's build it all up for the public, create this interest, and create all the excitement, and then release the report where it deflates everybody so that everybody just kind of goes away and goes, oh, I don't want to waste my time being involved with that again. It smells like that's what it is. And, you know, if it's not, I'm going to be really surprised.
Well, all this focus, you know, I mentioned this earlier about how the media is, and even some of the politicians, when they're asked about extraterrestrial, they acknowledge that as a possibility and say, we need to find out. But, you know, is the public, though, if this were somehow like some undiscovered aspect of science, like some sort of weird electric animal that has duplicated, you know, this the kind of flight performance we've heard about. If it was that and it's not alien, I mean, we would still be curious for a while, but a lot of people would just say, oh, it's not what I've been expecting. And so if there's anything, any answer that, besides alien, it's going to turn off a lot of the audience, if you want to call them that.
Even if it's an alien answer, it's not going to happen the way Stephen Bassett expects.
No. And I don't think that, do you want the government to decide policy on reality, if it really is? You know, are they the ones to tell us? I mean, I would hope that some independent scientists would come up with some conclusive evidence. You know, there are a lot of people that wouldn't believe the government if they came out and said that, you know, without good evidence. If it was based on, especially the kind of thing we know they have already, which is, you know, these inconclusive videos and pilot testimony, radar that's imperfect. You know, it's certainly interesting, but it's not solid. We need something like, you know, when you you know, when there's a murder, we know people kill each other, there are car crashes and all these things. The witness testimony in that regard, it's like, well, it's based on things that are proven. But witness testimony about this is like, well, you know, we can regard it as credible, but we have to have something, you can't put it in a science textbook until we have something to examine.
Let's examine these folks. Kurt, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
But that, Kurt Collins, returns us to what we were talking about before. What constitutes that evidence? If they say there's no proof of ET origin, it would have to be some kind of physical, irrefutable evidence, not people seeing things and not instrumentation recording things that seem to move in ways that we can't duplicate.
Right, and just like back at the beginning of the show, there's no proof I'm unemployed either, right? So, I mean, like, come on.
The thing is also there's no proof of what they know or care about with UFOs. It may be, after all these suspicions of hidden UFO investigations, that their final answer was the Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark answer, which is to stick it in Warehouse 13, stick it under the rug, forget about it, we can't confront this, we don't know what's going on, we don't have a final answer, let's just, you know, let sleeping dogs lie. We don't want to get involved unless we have to, kicking and screaming. And maybe the report in the New York Times in 2017, maybe the efforts of UFO believer Senator Harry Reid, former Senator Reid, force the issue. If Senator Reid hadn't been a UFO person, and we're sure he believes he's an ET guy, that's pretty well confirmed. If he wasn't involved, being a powerful senator, the Senate Majority Leader at the time, none of this would have come up. The New York Times story wouldn't have come up. If this hadn't happened, the follow-up wouldn't have occurred. They were forced, kicking and screaming, to do something.
That's right. The involvement of politicians and government is what got this into the news. And what's kept it in the news is this threat scenario, because once the military has gotten cornered with, you know, explain what this is, and I don't know how they're going to get out of it. Project Blue Book, it took them 20 years to get out of it. And, you know, now that chiefly the Navy is involved, and, you know, the Pentagon is just kind of broadly seen as the caretaker now of the UFO problem. I don't know how they can resolve it, because I think it's going to continue to be a lot of unanswered questions. I mean, unless they get, you know, something that's uncontested, you know, an actual spacecraft to examine, you know, I think that's the evidence. The at the very least, biological material, you know, technological samples, something like that. The, you know, the metamaterials with things that, where they show rare combinations. I don't think that's enough. I think it's got to be something more solid. So
yeah, it's got to be something designed. It's like, it's not enough to just see a bunch of, like, unusual combinations of elements stuck together in a piece of, you know, in a lump of something. Imagine if, say, for example, you know, somebody smashed an integrated circuit, like a motherboard chip, like a CPU processor, and then, you know, it handed you a piece of that. Well, it'd be like, well, I don't know what this is. But when you looked at it closer, you could tell that this was manufactured. It's not just a collection of bits and pieces of elements. It's designed. That's what we need, that level of evidence, of material evidence.
The problem here is, if we're dealing with an extraterrestrial race that is hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, the products of their technology may be literally unrecognizable. To us, it could just be a spaceship with no obvious propulsion system. It could just be a circular craft. You can go into it. Maybe you can open the doors. But there may not be buttons even. There may be nothing there that you can physically say, this represents technology, even though I see the technology. You don't see what it's made up of. You don't see the parts. It may be controlled mentally. It flies because somebody says, Siri, take off and take me to Mars.
You mean,
or
like
the equivalent, or the equivalent at Proxima Centauri 3 of Siri. Sorry, Proxima Centauri had that disaster, so it's not them.
Well, that's where I was going with the other thing. Okay, like, okay, Gene, like, there's, and Curtis, like, you, I'd like to get your opinion on this too, because Gene and I go back and forth on this quite a bit, where Gene will bring up this idea that, well, it could be so far ahead of ourselves that there's no way that we could possibly understand what it could be. And then I go, yeah, but wait a minute. Our own technology now, when I just was mentioning like CPU chips, we're down to the point now where we can actually rearrange individual atoms and take pictures of them. You don't get any smaller than that.
We assume you don't get any smaller than that.
No, it's like that, Gene. Not if there's anything that we know about the material universe. Yeah, if we want to go outside our universe, right? But if anything comes into ours, if we have a piece of something, we can literally look down inside of atoms now. So we can tell. We know. They can't hide it from us anymore if it's some kind of material thing. Now, if it's mental, well, then we're into channelers and all of the rest of it. Then we might as well forget nuts and bolts craft altogether. But if we're talking materials like the scientists want, we can see it now. We can go there. We can tell what it is, and we can literally map it out from the molecular level, actually from the atomic level all the way up now. They can't hide it from us anymore. Or am I wrong? What do you think, Kurt?
Well, let's just say, I don't know, in Gene's scenario, if such a craft would ever be captured. But I think just the fact, if it had been observed in motion, that we had something and we couldn't make it would be probably enough. I mean, hopefully it could be analyzed the way you suggest. Even a piece of it should give us clues to. Now, it might take a decade of study. It should be proven that it was constructed off-world. You know, even if we can't understand the technology, it's bound to be different construction techniques, the composition, all that has to be enough different that we could tell. And, you know, I'm not convinced about any of these rumors of this material on hand now that it would be something like that.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't seem to represent a design. It's just it maybe is some sort of, you know, a material or even a metamaterial, which they can say is designed, but we can make things now, like I was just saying, that out of individual atoms. We can make antimatter now, for God's sakes. Like, so how do we know?
But where are the dilithium crystals? Warp 8, engage.
Well, Curtis, you make a really good point, though, on the manufacture. Just because we can tell it's manufactured doesn't mean that we know how to do it, right? Like, even if we were to take one of our chips back maybe 100 years, people could look at it with sort of relatively primitive microscopes, and they could tell that it was designed, but they would have no idea how to make one.
That might be the situation if we did recover something at Roswell. They're sitting there, and they have no idea what to do with it. Oh, it's a manufactured product. But where do we go from here? And we're not there yet, assuming that's even there. But then if they do have that evidence, we have the separation, because that's one universe, and the current furor over UFOs is another universe. The twain is not meeting. What is meeting is this set of announcements with Gene Randall and Kurt Turin.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News. Florida's governor takes on the CDC and wins. Here's Mike Fortier.
A federal judge Friday ruling in favor of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis suing to stop the CDC from requiring that cruise ships only take on passengers who can prove they have been fully vaccinated. The judge rules the CDC exceeded its authority. While it may be a legal victory for DeSantis, it may not be a victory for the cruise industry. Steve Geller is the mayor of Broward County, the home of Port Everglades.
I've spoken with leaders of the cruise industry. They have told me they don't think their passengers will go on cruise ships unless they know the passengers have been vaccinated, passengers and crew.
So starting July 18th, the CDC's vaccine requirement for cruise ships becomes just a recommendation. The CDC has until July 2nd to appeal. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
This is USA Radio News.
Sad news from the White House today. President Biden tweeted that his dog Champ, the eldest of the Biden's two German Shepherds, passed away peacefully at their home. The Biden family saying, quote, "Our family lost our loving companion, Champ, today. He was our constant, cherished companion during the last 13 years. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Robert Seislinger was 28 years old when he died just 6 days after Thanksgiving in 1950 while serving in the Korean War. The 28-year-old Army First Lieutenant reportedly died fighting enemy forces in North Korea. The Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency says his remains could not be recovered. But 3 years ago, his remains were among those in 55 boxes the North Koreans turned over to the U.S. The Pittsburgh native laid to rest Friday at Arlington National Cemetery, also awarded a Bronze Star and Purple Heart. Over 100 family and friends in attendance. Still, over 7,600 Americans who fought in Korea remain unaccounted for.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So there. Okay, if they have this evidence from way back then, there's no connection with what's going on now, or maybe there will be, and that's the ultimate goal, saying, now that we know this is happening thus and so, this is what happened then. It's still deliberately ignoring what happened then.
Well, you know, we're talking about evidence, and of course people already are concerned that there are evidence in hand that we're not seeing. Just take the Nimitz case, which is relatively recently in history. There have been the Freedom of Information Act requests for things, but apparently a lot of the information was gathered. It didn't go through proper channels to be filed. So, you know, we're stymied there. And even the video that we've seen did not come from the government vault. That was something that was released by one of the crew members, and it was on the internet, and it was a copy of that that wound its way back into the Pentagon. Or not back, but into the Pentagon. That was released, and that's what we saw. So that was a very strange trip that took. So, and we would, you know, without it, we wouldn't know much about the rest of the case. And one of the things that we've heard about, they have yet to see, is that one of the pilots, the female pilot, Alex Dietrich, has her log entry. I think she had scanned and emailed a copy to Lou Elizondo, and that has survived, that because that went through Navy channels. And a friend of mine has a Freedom of Information Act request on that, and he has yet to write about it and publish it, but I think that'll be coming soon. And even if that doesn't demonstrate anything about the exotic nature of the event or anything. It's good documentation from the actual time that it took place, and so much of the testimony has been heard years later. So this is one of the original pieces. I mean, in any case, you want contemporary accounts and evidence whenever you can get, and not secondhand stories years later, like the Roswell case is now down to, or thirdhand. So there's that, and we have to wonder how much other documentation there is, especially on these more recent cases, where, as Randall says, there has to be hundreds of them if we are to believe even half of what they say about these things appearing on basically a daily basis. There has to be a lot of material gathered on that, and I think some of that's within the 120 reports.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can even go back and read some of, you know, if you just do your UFO basic homework, you can read about the authors who have looked into this. And just for NORAD, for example, you can get information from them on the number of tracks they've had that were unidentified. They don't know who they are, and there's thousands of them. So you think NORAD's tracking these things. They never sent anyone after them. But they don't know what they are. That's their job to know what they are. Of course they sent something after them. And out of thousands of those situations, you think there's really only like none of a report? Not one? It's just not reasonable. You know, you guys might really like this. I've just been doing a little bit of digging around while I'm listening to you guys talking here. And this is, I've just found something that's really fascinating. And, you know, where we're trying to get to who the they are. Because we're always talking about, well, they. Well, who is that exactly, right? So we were talking earlier in the show about the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA. Okay, so everybody says, well, the DIA is responsible for this, okay? But then where do you go from there? Well, it turns out that the DIA is above something called the United States Intelligence Community. Now, that just sounds like kind of a vague term, but it's not. It's got its own seal. It's a very specific part of the whole system. Now, get this, guys. Like back in 2010, underneath this intelligence community, there were 1,271 government organizations, 1,931 private companies in 10,000 locations in the United States, with 854,000 people holding top secret clearances. Okay? And in their seal, they've got 16 stars. So I thought, well, okay, so what are the major ones? Look it up. Go there. Go to this website. It is absolutely amazing what you're dealing with in terms of the intelligence community. And if you scroll down a little bit, you're going to see under National Security Agency, some of these images change, but there's one here. Actually, even the other one, the Department of Energy Office of Intelligence and Counterintelligence, is even more interesting because they've got this glowing spherical orb-looking thing that looks like it's floating in the middle of a access way inside a ship or something. I don't know if that's meant to just symbolize a nuclear reactor or something, but it looks like a glowing orb. And it's right on their website. It's really kind of interesting.
Yeah, the amount of the agencies that it's unbelievable. And you have to wonder how much of those are duplicating efforts and also stymieing each other in a sense, fighting for territory and that sort of thing. So, and you know, the Air Force used to have the UFO problem, at least publicly, the public relations problem, but it's always been UFO investigators always speculated the Navy had an active role, and now they have a dominant role. In fact, you don't even hear any of these cases involving the Air Force that I'm aware of. No statement from them either. They still have old statements on their website, you know, policy statements from Blue Book from 1969 when it closed, you know, which said we found no evidence of extraterrestrial. That was the final word and still up there today. So, but there are other possibilities being considered, and it's interesting, so interesting who's talking about them, you know, at high level. And of course, there's also speculation that, well, they're saying all this because it provides cover for our incursions into other airspace and our space projects and our space force. Well, you know, supposedly the government is prohibited by law from engaging in disinformation campaigns against their own citizens. But, you know, they definitely have bent the truth before. But I don't think this is all some massive conspiracy to cover up military projects. I just don't buy that. That just isn't, there's,
well, then again, you did know, and I did want to return to this, too, because this is a little bit earlier in the show. It just sort of slipped right by, and I haven't had a chance to get back to it until now. But you mentioned an older ATIP memo that alluded to the development of systems that could mimic UFO behavior. And I'd like to get back to that, because that is really the only other reasonable explanation other than an actual alien craft for these Tic Tac sightings. And I've put it out there that, yeah, maybe we're dealing with some kind of advanced countermeasures. And people say, well, some people go, no, that's just way too impossible. And I go, well, I don't think it's necessarily impossible. What do you think?
Well, I think you have a point there. And UFOs, unfortunately, provide a lot of camouflage for these incidents. You know, experimentation and things like that. And, you know, since we have this term that doesn't really mean anything, like you said, so anything that's unexplained in the sky is called UFO or UAP now. And it, in a way, it stifles an investigation where if you were able to say it was a military aircraft, then it could be checked out. You know, the fact that it can be just dismissed as a UFO, it's like, well, we'll get some UFO guys to look into that, and it goes nowhere.
So this is a way, therefore, to hide what's really going on, and I had a couple of quick thoughts about that, but we have one more segment to deal with it with. Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
A reminder to check out our new Paracast shop at theparacast.shop. We're also inviting contributions from other artists. You'll see what's going on there now, a work in progress, where you can place your order for branded merchandise for the Paracast at theparacast.shop. With Kurt Collins, I was thinking here, if it is possible that we're doing something here that may lead other countries to believe that these UFOs are actually some kind of secret development here, even though we specifically deny that, that could be a repetition of the original Rosetta deception from World War II, where allegedly the ghost rockets were meant to spook the Russians. And maybe Roswell was as well. So maybe now we're trying to spook the Iranians, the Russians, the Chinese, and whoever else is maybe on our list of bad actors these days. But then we just get involved with UFO people to kind of muddy the waters? I don't know.
This is overlapping with the Mirage Man premise, the book, and then the documentary that the military uses deception like this.
Sure.
And I think that that's probably an aspect of it. I refuse to believe that's the answer for everything. I think that many of these 120 cases are genuine mysteries, but having this does allow the military this deniability, and they use this in the past on things that we know of, from spy balloons and satellites to the spy planes, that when it was seen and it wasn't supposed to, and someone said it was a UFO, they did not step forward to identify it. This could be happening again if they have something else that involved, you know, advanced aircraft, and Randall alluded to some of these countermeasures, and they've had things since the 50s that where you can spoof radar, and some people have even suggested that the Washington sightings were that, where they weren't actually UFOs, it was a test of the system. While they would do it over Washington, D.C., I can't imagine. It's a scenario to examine. They use this, over Cuba to camouflage the Blackbird flights in the early 60s, you know, that was supposed to have a reduced radar signature anyway, but by sending these other ones out, it provided cover for the aircraft, and they're much less likely to be fired upon. And so adding to the confusion in any military situation, and usually there's a fair amount, it helps them from being a target, and whether or not they're out for a bombing mission or, you know, simply a spy mission. Yeah, I think that's plausible. I think it's certainly worth considering and examining. I don't think the whole UFO mystery is a military deception, but it's something they can exploit when they need to, and whether actively or just passively by not saying it was ours.
On the other hand, we can throw another theory out there, since we're throwing theories to the wall, and we'll see which one lands, which is we do have alien technology, and this is it.
Okay. That's been a plot line in science fiction for a long time. Not a major one, usually just some of the minor pieces. You can certainly see why that would be kept secret. You know, Stan Friedman wrote about that quite a bit over the years, even before he got attached to Roswell, about how that the nation that could duplicate the performance of flying saucers or, you know, have that sort of technology would rule the world. So if we have it, so what's keeping them from doing that? You know, you would think that that might not bring peace, but it would bring military supremacy.
Well, yeah, even if it could just look like it. This is the point I was trying to make with some of the other people in the ufology community, and you've got believers out there who just will go, no, couldn't be, we need proof of that. The guys at the SCU, I mean, I love those guys, but at the same time, I think they're really kind of focused on the idea that it has to be something else. They're looking at nuts and bolts craft. I'm going, look, if this is some kind of technology that can make the enemy think that there are other craft out there in the theater, you know, the theater of war I'm talking about here, that's amazing. That could totally be a game changer in terms of any kind of strategy. Because they're suddenly, their radar thinks that there's a whole bunch of craft out there that are coming in one certain direction that aren't really there, but you can actually see them and pick them up on radar, but they're not there. You don't even need real craft then. You've got like a major advantage.
Right, they're chasing ghosts. And they're disorganized. They're not trusting their own personnel. I mean, it just creates a military chaotic situation. So
yeah, you could dominate the whole entire situation with that kind of technology if you've got it. And maybe that's what they're saying to people. They're sort of leaking it out like that, like, oh yeah, you guys, okay, over there can build aircraft carriers too, and you guys can build pretty fancy planes, but can you do this? You know? And I think there's a really good chance of that. I mean, I believe alien visitation is a reality, but still I kind of go with that rule of thumb that, well, it, you know, if it's feasible, if it's possible that we could do this, and I don't see any reason why it's not possible, then why jump to the explanation that it's aliens?
And the hints are that this could be another nation's technology. I don't know that they could have gotten there, but the Chinese are now doing a UFO study of their own, and they even want to bring it to the UN. Unless that's a really clever ploy by them, they're saying it's not us, and they're looking for the help of other nations. There again, maybe this UFO topic is uniting the world.
Well, that would be really fascinating if it does that. I kind of don't believe it at this point. But you see, we're still dealing with what we don't know. We don't know much about this final report, except we have preliminary information. There are no pages and pages of quotes as to what it will say. It's just a general description, and that's it. And we don't know whether there will be a spokesperson who will get up there and say, okay, I'll answer your questions. It may just be, here's the report, goodbye. You figure it out.
I think you were right when you said it would be a report promising another report.
Which will then in turn promise another report. And by the time this is all over, I will be gone, dead and buried, and they'll still be releasing reports. I don't want to end up like my poor friend Tim Beckley, though.
Oh, yeah. We should do a little bit of a segment on him sometime. Like, just, you know, for the people who don't know it there, we've lost Tim Beckley, the Commander X himself kind of thing. Like, you know, too bad about that.
Mr. UFO. Remember how he used to call himself Mr. UFO? We can reminisce about this another time. Kurt Collins, It's been fun, and we're going to have you back in After the Paracast. But for now, could you tell our listeners where they go to find out more of the things you do?
For UFO history and rare cases and unusual events, look at The Saucers That Time Forgot. And then more for the current UFO news and events, Blue Blurry Lines.
Blue Blurry Lines. He did that because it's a tongue twister. Say that five times fast, and your mouth will self-destruct. Kidding, of course. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Facebook. Some people wonder these days why, but Facebook's there, and we have to use them. It's a way to get out the word. We also have the Paracast.shop, and the Paracast.shop has been rejiggered yet again. We're trying to make it better, give you a better, bigger, badder range merchandise at good prices. We have, I think, three logos right now. One of them is Randall's. We're inviting outside artists to contribute their logos, too, and we'll work out possibly including them in some of our merchandise, so get in touch with us. The Paracast.shop. It's a work in progress. It's a beta version. You can order, get your merchandise shipped quickly to you, but there'll be some formatting glitches in the descriptions, things like that we're working on. The Paracast.shop. Don't forget the Paracast.plus. We offer the Paracast Plus as a special version for listeners of this show with the After the Paracast podcast, and also this show free of the network ads. After the Paracast has extended interviews with the guests on the regular episode and more. In fact, Kurt's going to be with us on After the Paracast. Lots more to talk about. To find out more and take advantage of a special deal, go to theparacast.plus. We offer an Amazon gift certificate for 5-year or lifetime subscriptions. Kurt Collins, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Oh, it was fun.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.